discussion.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Gregory Schlesinger. I represent Gary Dyrek, the plaintiff appellant in this case. As the court is aware, this is an appeal from a grant of summary judgment in connection with a disability claim. Mr. Dyrek was an air traffic controller who suffers from diabetes. The facts that jump out, I think, from this record are that this is a 19-year employee of the FAA who worked for all those years without complications on the job. He worked for approximately 12 years before even being diagnosed with diabetes, but then worked for 4 years after being diagnosed with diabetes without complications, then was placed on insulin in the year 1997 and worked 3 additional years without any sort of complication in connection with his job. He was fired from a position in which he was not required to have a medical clearance. He was denied other positions in which he was not required to have a medical clearance, such as quality assurance, instructor, and a position entitled specialist.
Did he delay a long time before he asked for some other position?
He did. He didn't delay, Your Honor. He waited until he was terminated. He was given the option at various times to seek other positions, or I might add, seek disability retirement, or continue with his contest of his disqualification. And until he was terminated, he did not seek any other alternative positions. But one fact I'd like to make very clear, and because it's not referred to in my brief, is an admission that's contained in the request to admit that are part of the record, that the plaintiff did, in a timely fashion, request alternative positions, that in fact there was an open position for the quality assurance type work that he sought, that he made a request on March 17th, the date of his dismissal for that position, and then he was not given that position.
So is this a failure? Have you made a failure to accommodate claim?
That's not the nature of our claim, Your Honor. But although I think this is evidence of failure to make a reasonable accommodation, I think that it also goes to the question of him being perceived as disabled.
One of the points you made was that he didn't need a particular kind of medical clearance, but it's clear that for 2.5 years the agency kept asking him for a comprehensive medical report as to the status of his diabetes, and it was not given.
That is true, although on a number of occasions he did submit documentation. I would submit, Your Honor, it's a non-issue for the following reason. At the end of that 2.5 years, in December of 1999 and going into January of the year 2000, he's asked again, he's been permanently medically disqualified, he's told again, you may resubmit documentation if you can demonstrate that your diabetes is in control. He then submits the package of information in February of the year 2000, his doctor's letter, the confirmation from the eye doctor that there are no complications, the blood sugar readings and the calorie counts, and he's told at that time that you still don't qualify, you still haven't complied, you still haven't demonstrated control. So,
and wasn't part of that because he did not have any medical report that covered the time from May until the time he actually submitted the report saying his diabetes was under control. In other words, that report covered that specific time period. You know, it covered right then, that then and now, but in the time period from May till that report had been submitted, had there been any indication that he'd been normal during that whole time period?
Yes. Although there were continuing requests for the submission of additional documents, and it's our contention that they kept setting the bar higher and higher and that the requests bore no reasonable relationship to a demonstration on his part that he was in fact in control of his diabetes.
So then all those other interim reports show that his diabetes was normal? Is that what you said?
We have admitted facts in the record by an FAA doctor who was deposed, who says that there's not a single objective test, an A1C test, which measures his blood sugar over a long period of time, that demonstrates that his diabetes was out of control. That further, that the final materials that should have reversed this medical disqualification, in the materials that the doctor could read, there was nothing to indicate that he was not in control, and that the FAA made no further inquiry concerning any other information from his doctor. And even if we assume that the FAA has a legitimate argument that he did not comply with their requirements. It's still a contested question of fact that should not have sustained summary judgment in this case. I'm struck by the number of cases that the court has had to deal with in terms of diabetes. A recent case that we cite in our reply brief where Your Honor wrote in the Norrod case dealing with diabetes. And, of course, the crucially important Supreme Court case that we have, Sutton, dealing with the individual inquiry that the employer must make. We can't stereotype that. We can't resort to myth. This is an individual that is very unlike the other diabetics that have come before the court because, for example, in the Norrod case, we had an individual that had a long history of complication, of hypoglycemic episodes, of failure to perform on the job. In the Seekin case, which involved a police officer who had a diabetic episode, we have clear evidence that there is a demonstration that the person cannot control his diabetes. In this case, we have a long-term employee with a demonstrated record of not having complications with his diabetes. So when we apply Sutton, we have to ask ourselves, can the FAA say that just by virtue of being a diabetic, you are disqualified? Or don't they have to look objectively at the facts? Don't they have to say, is this individual, based on his own medical condition, qualified or unqualified for this position? I think that the FAA policy prior to 1995 was that no one that was diabetic could be an air traffic controller. They changed that in 1995 to say that those individuals that were already air traffic controllers could remain as controllers if they could show that they were in control of their diabetes.
Well, this is an agency that has historically had very high standards for a lot of areas, like age, as I'm sure you're aware. And we've had cases dealing with that. So I don't know that they shouldn't get any special review, that is, that agency. But it is an agency with a particular mission that the courts have recognized when they've made decisions with regard to pilots, for example. So that what troubles me about this case is this failure to respond to the periodic inquiries. And for you to make the case, it would seem to me, for Mr. Dirac, it would have to be that those kinds of inquiries are oppressive, even as against a stellar work record, which may well be the case here. And it is that gives me some pause here. Why that hasn't come about? Recognizing the backdrop of this agency is one of high demand on the people it supervises.
Well, Your Honor, in response, again, there was documentation submitted on a number of occasions. At one point, there was a question raised about Rezolin, which is another medication. And they said to him, well, you're not showing control because you're using this medication. There's an admitted fact that there was never any FAA policy barring the use of Rezolin. So that delayed a determination as to his medical qualification 6 months to a year, I believe it was, while they were adjusting and taking away that medication, even though they had no policy with regard to that medication.
But the agency did conduct a review process, did it not?
It did.
Yeah, I mean, it reaching the level of the air surgeon, the federal air surgeon.
Yes, and it's our contention that the what they suggest is merely a sham, that they had objective facts that they as testified to by their own doctor. They had objective facts that demonstrated that he was in control, and that they chose to say, no, he's not in control, without any objective
data. Well, that's why I was analogizing it to the pilot situation, where, you know, we get these studies in other cases where at the cutoff age there's this argument made that the experience and the excellent record should cause the agency to have a different approach. But in questions of health, that agency has made its call, so to speak, and courts have been kind of deferring unless there's this track record of oppressive inquiry. And I guess I'll just have to search the record a little more carefully here to find that.
Very well, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve just a minute or two for a bottle. Thank you.
You will have that. Mr. Messina?
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honor, the FAA did have an objective fact that Mr. Dyrick's diabetes was not in control because while he was a diabetic in 1993, he began using insulin in 1997, which was an indication that his diabetes was not in control. And this is what started the process of the FAA trying over a course of 2 years to get adequate medical documentation from Mr. Dyrick.
So was he fired because his diabetes was not adequately controlled or because he failed to provide the required documentation?
Your Honor, he failed to provide adequate documentation. And what the record is going to show, you're not going to find any medical records in the record that are of the type requested by the FAA.
And what were the types?
The FAA requested over 9 times very specific items. They requested a medical report, which included a diagnosis, the name, dosage, frequency, and adverse effects of any medication that he was taking, his current status, prognosis, and recommendations, his treatment regimen, results from any x-rays, tests, fasting blood sugars, and hemoglobin, and they required that he be educated in the use of diabetes and how he should control his disease. What they got at the 11th hour, after 2 years of requests and after 9 letters, the sum total of what they got was a letter from his doctor, a one-page letter, a note that talked about his eye and kidney function, and some tests that covered only a 2-month period. The record also shows that the FAA doctor felt that she could not really rely on this because she couldn't really comprehend what it was saying. And this was after a 2-year period of trying to...
Well, but the agency doesn't look too shiny here either. If we've got a reluctant controller to coming forth with his records, he's kept on line here, apparently.
Well, Your Honor, he was moved to the A-side position, and the minute he was temporarily medically disqualified, he was moved to the A-side position, which did not require any responsibilities for air traffic control. When he was permanently medically disqualified...
And when was that? What date was that the move, the transfer? Because you first start asking him for information in May of 97. So when does he get moved to that other position?
I believe it's around that time, Your Honor.
May of 97? Right after they find out he's on insulin?
I believe so. I would have to...
Well, in July of 97, he is informed that it's inadequate.
Right.
So you're saying that by then he's already been moved off the line?
Right. There's an agreement with the FAA and the union that temporarily medically disqualified air traffic controllers can maintain their air traffic controller, but they're moved to just limited A-side duties. And I believe that's what occurred in this case. The record, and to answer your question about what the FAA requires and whether this was an onerous hurdle that he could not meet, all air traffic controllers are required to maintain medical certification. Now, air traffic controllers with diabetes can maintain air traffic certification, and that's why the policy was changed, was to enable someone with diabetes to maintain their certification. What's required is a very comprehensive report to be submitted and reviewed by a panel of doctors.
And let me ask you this, for just a person that doesn't have diabetes, the kind of medical report you were asking for, is that something that for each air traffic controller to be certified, they have to comply with and submit such a report, or were the requirements greater because he had diabetes?
The requirements are a little bit greater, but all air traffic controllers are required to maintain their medical certification and that the review doctor's physical. Once a person, if a diabetic person using insulin meets the requirements from the report and they're certified, that's not the end of it. The supervisor has to be educated in the fact that the person has insulin use, and the people around him have to be educated, and he has to carry supplies with him to maintain and have him control his diabetes.
So a regular air traffic controller that doesn't have a problem with diabetes would have to submit a medical report describing, I guess, his current medical condition or whatever. You didn't even get that from the appellant here.
The record's not clear on that, and I would not argue that. But what is clear is that the FAA was very specific over two-year period, requesting 9 times the identical information. And what is clear is that it was never provided.
Mr. Messina, is this system of supplying the medical information all done through reliance on the private physicians and the controller, and then a review by medical personnel within the agency, as opposed to ever requiring an examination by one of those medical personnel of the individual?
Well, as part of the requirement and documentation, the person is required to get a medical report. So
right.
You would assume that he would go to the private doctor and that doctor would write up the report. I mean, what's also interesting...
Yeah, but I'm concerned whether this agency has... It obviously has some review in-house medical capacity, right? Because it makes...
Correct, Your Honor.
I mean, that is the federal air surgeon, I'm assuming, he or she is a licensed physician.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Does the agency have the capacity to call in someone, for example, who is not as forthcoming... On a medical report and actually demand a submission to an exam by the agency?
Well, I'm not aware whether they have any type of command powers to bring a doctor in.
I mean, this is a condition of employment.
Right. Well, that is the condition of employment for an insulin-using diabetic. And in fact, the supervisor sent him a letter saying, if you don't...
No, he has to obtain a report. I'm asking whether one can submit to an examination by a government doctor is what I'm really asking.
The record isn't clear as to what type of powers the FAA would have.
My inquiry is just based upon whether the agency could have moved, if it has that capacity, to just set an appointment date, 14 days hence and ask you to submit to it. Well, I just wonder if that's built into the system. Perhaps it's not.
Right.
Because if it is, and it's measured against inadequate medical reports coming from private physicians, one might wonder why that other system wasn't employed, but maybe it doesn't exist.
That could be the case, Your Honor. What was employed, however, is they offered to pay for the report. The FAA sent him a letter or return envelope and said, we will pay for this report. Just please provide us the medical documentation and we will consider your application. That was never done in this case.
And you consider it an essential function of the job that an employee provide certain kinds of medical documentation. That's for all employees and certainly for diabetics.
Right.
That would be an essential function of the job position as far as you're concerned.
All air traffic controllers are required to maintain a medical certification. There is a heightened standard for diabetic air traffic controllers who are using insulin because that is an indication that their diabetes may not be in control. And at that moment, the FAA makes the determination that show us that your diabetes is in control. You heard the plaintiff's argument. He never argued that he provided the medical documentation that the FAA requested. He's only saying that there was a period of time that his diabetes was in control. Well, the FAA didn't know that. I mean, that's the very information that the FAA was seeking from the plaintiff for a two-year period after 9 requests for it. And what you'll see in the record is what they got, which is a letter, some indecipherable blood sugar tests, and that's the extent of what they received.
Does the agency maintain a list of doctors who are... they believe to be qualified, the agency can trust their determinations? I think they do for pilots, at least they used to. There were certain doctors you had to go to get your airman certificate upgraded.
I think in this case, the FAA was fine with Mr. Dyrick's doctor in providing the report. I mean, I think this isn't the FAA, not really considering the doctor's report. In fact, there were conversations with the doctor. There was also conversations with Mr. Dyrick when he was in the office and saying, what was needed, and it was just never provided. I see that I'm out of time.
Well, you have more time. You're not constitutionally mandated to use it, but you have a little more time.
Well, Your Honor, the plaintiff's argument that he rescued himself from his termination by making an 11th-hour submission of this type of medical evidence is just not enough in this case, and we ask that the court affirm the district court decision in this case.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Schlesinger.
Can you just tell us why Dyrick didn't submit the information when he was asked repeatedly?
Well, Your Honor, I wanted to address that. I want to tell you that in the briefs that we've submitted, there are repeated references to other documentation that was submitted. In terms of the dates that you were concerned about, Mr. Dyrek began using insulin in May of 1997. He was placed on, his medical clearance was withdrawn in June of 1997. And I might add, the FDA became aware of his use of insulin and the fact of his diabetes as a result of information that he submitted to the FAA.
And that's great. That's great. But then in July, they notify him that the medical report was insufficient.
Yes,
in August, his doctor sends a letter indicating he's adjusting the medication, and the FAA says they still need a report. In October and November, they meet with Dyrek. They tell him that this Resulin and insulin was against regulations and said they still needed a report. In January of 99, the flight surgeon says he needed more time to document his control of blood sugars, and he needed more. You know, it just seems to me he had many opportunities to provide. It's just puzzling to me when he wants to get his job back, and he's obviously, based on our record, a top-rate air traffic controller, and we know how we need top-rate people, that he would provide this information. It's just puzzling to me why he didn't provide it.
Well, Your Honor, I think, first of all, I think information was provided. There was information provided in July, as you've indicated, July of 1997. They found that inadequate. There was additional information in August of 1998. That was not inadequate. In December of 1999, there was additional information submitted. And then finally, and I might add, he's saying all along, I comply with your requirements. I meet your requirements. There's a letter from the plaintiff.
So does he have a medical report of the type that counsel described that he submitted?
I think that's what he submitted in February. There is no form. We don't have a form. They don't tell us follow this form. They say give us this information. Show us that you're counting your calories and you know when you're taking your insulin. And he submits that information. And they still say he's unqualified. As to his discharge, the letters that he received, which are part of the record, are very clear that he's discharged for what they claim is his failure to meet medical standards, not for insubordination or the failure to submit documentation. It's for failure to meet medical standards, even in light of admitted facts that their own doctor says for 3 years his tests were in compliance with their guidelines. They have specific guidelines set down by the National Air Surgeon. You have to be below 12 to be in control. He's never had a test that's out of control. Yet they say that in good faith, they claim that he was not controlling his diabetes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Special. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.